Warning. Warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show, determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the weepy, the weepy.
Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war against bullshit. We would do anything and everything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. Or if you're angry and want the truth exposed and sharpened, then prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept that, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I takes no bullshit from nobody. Actually, expose the bullshit in society and chop it up into easy-to-digest chunks for you. Today won't be any different. Today we're going to be talking about, of course, the big news of the day, the bombing. I mean, not the bombing, but the pipe bombs that were mailed to George Soros, the Clintons, the Obamas, and CNN. And I mean, everyone's already saying false flag. Everyone's already saying, because it's so close. But you know what? I am going to be joined today with Gabriel Brown. In fact, hold on. Let me call him now. Let's get him.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed has been changed.
Oh, shit on a stick. All right. Let me try calling him again because I probably put in the wrong number. Okay. On my phone when you are ready to have me on. All right, calling him. All right, let's do this again. Call failed to connect. Please try again. Oh, man. What's going on? Okay. What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? All right. Let's try. All right. Guy Gabriel.
Hello?
Gabe, what's up? Okay, you're
online. How's it going?
So far so good. So basically, we're doing a show, false flagging into the midterms.
Yeah, right? That sounds like the thing that's been going on lately.
Like,
honestly, really does.
Honestly, how come it's like no one on the left, because everyone on the right immediately screaming false flag? And,
well,
And Tim Pool on his video, he's like, oh well, calling it screaming false flag is not productive. I disagree.
Well, I can understand where Tim Pool's coming from. He's going to take a neutral position because he's trying. He's going straight for the facts. Not going to speculate on the issue of whether or not it was a false flag attack. So he's kind of going with the more moderate position.
Yeah, but the thing.
Whereas.
Me and you, we're
probably going to go down the discussion of speculation. And I think it's good that we speculate on this because there are several things that could be played out here. I mean, could this be a false flag? I mean, it's a high possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at the example of what just happened. I don't know, I think it was October 9th, October 10th, mm-hmm. with an individual from TAP in New York. Who, I don't know, he was building a 200-pound bomb in his basement. Are you familiar with the story?
He was trying to disrupt the election, and he got caught.
Yeah. Well, they looked into some of his the things. Apparently, he's written blog posts a couple years ago. I mean, I just kind of briefly looked into it, but apparently some of the things that he wrote about is this concept of literally disrupting elections with bombs, and he believes in this concept of basically putting in random people into the election. He thinks the whole system needs to be flushed. He doesn't believe in the Enlightenment or anything in classical liberal values. I was interestingly watching a clip that Alex Jones regarding this topic in from what Jones is claiming, this guy subscribes to Jacobin-style, you know, ideas.
What does that mean?
A.K.A. the Illuminati.
Oh, okay.
So he definitely is a leftward-leaning. He does not like what the Founding Fathers are about. So, and he did believe this idea that basically the Republicans would try to stage bombings to blame the Democrats when... He's basically doing everything that he claims that his opponents would be doing.
Yeah.
From what I gather. That's what I gather from this incident.
People usually accuse those of what they do themselves.
Yeah, self-projection. And I gotta tell you, when it comes to these regressives on the left, they're the most self-projected group I've ever encountered. Just with everything from there. You know, you're a race traitor, you're a racist, you're going to blow this up, you're going to do this, you're a terrorist, you're going to... I mean, these people are doing everything that they're claiming other people are doing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you look at that incident that happened, you know, over a week or two ago, and yeah, a guy wanted to blow things up with a 200-pound bomb. Mm-hmm. And now you have this incident going on here with these bombs that were... at George Soros and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I mean, it's not really that far of a stretch to question whether or not this is a false flag attack. When you have a man that clearly leans left, that I believe he was a Democrat, who literally wanted to plan a bombing on Election Day to blame Republicans. And this is not about Democrat and Republicans, but there's something going on here. I mean, let's take the statements that Hillary Clinton was basically, you know, I mean, paraphrasing, but she encouraged her base, whatever that base be, the left, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. to engage in action of incivility. They don't want you to be civil. They want these people to be absolutely violent. And Maxine Waters, I believe her name is, also was encouraging people surround Republican, you know, politicians in an almost threatening way.
Yeah. There's a difference between a protest and what Christine Waters wants to. Oh wow, whatever happened to Christine Whitman? Christine Waters. You know, is suggesting. I mean, if that isn't a call to violence, then I don't know what is.
Well, like I said, you look at the pattern in the last couple of years. You look at Madonna saying she wants to blow the White House up, or at least she felt like she wanted to. You look at a variety of you know, you look at the guy who was teaching at John Jay University, he's talking about future dead cops. I forget what Mr. Giraffneck's name is at the moment. Michael Isaacson, I believe is his name. You look across from the radical left to elements of the political leadership, the news media, that all lean in the direction of the regressive left, and they are almost like orchestrating in a complete concert form that we need violent revolution and we need to overthrow the classical liberal system that we have, which believes in due process. These people are calling for the end of due process. They are calling for the end of the Bill of Rights. They literally want a bloody revolution. They're encouraging mentally ill people and or mentally unstable people to take up arms, essentially, to do this. And now you see these incidences of bombing, and people on the left who are a bit more moderate are being fed in the media that this is right-wing terrorism or something along the lines of that, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. Well, my question would be this.
Yeah.
Why would people on the Republican side, why would people on the right, why would conservatives, if they're in a position of winning, as they say, where they already have the House and Senate, they're being energized to go out and vote. They're probably going to take the House again. Kavanaugh was confirmed, if I'm not mistaken. Elizabeth Warren was proven that she's basically not really Native American, not enough to substantiate the quote-unquote people of color that, you know, they keep calling her.
Yeah, I mean,
now, if you have all these factors and the right, the political right, you know, is winning, why on earth would they go out and stage bombings against political opponents that are clearly easy, frameable targets?
On top of that, with CNN, CNN's already dying. It's a lot more funnier to allow them to keep falling on their own sword than basically do something that's going to help energize them and legitimize them. This bombing, that, well, it's not even a bombing because none of them went off.
Well, the false. It didn't even work. So, I mean, there's a question. If the right is winning, and they are, and the economy is doing well, and a lot of people's perception of things, and there's a lot of good things happening, why would people on the moderate end, on the right, or even center-left, why would these people go out and engage in activity that mentally unstable people would do? I mean, like I said, look at the rhetoric of that our media, the establishment, our politicians on the left, Antifa, well, all these different groups on the left, they're the ones projecting mentally unstable calls for bloody revolution. If anybody's suspect in all this, I'm going to speculate that I believe that these, you know, parties probably are the ones who did it, or it may come out that they had some involvement, or it might be a lone wolf type. But the point is, the left ultimately looks like they're more of a position, you know, in a position to do something like this because of the fact there's so much mental instability on their end right now.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at how they treated Tim Pool recently, of Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks. I mean, the guy started berating Tim Pool, and Tim Pool was asking him to see if he could correct the record on this recent Data and Society report on, you know, media influencers, you know, alternative influencers and network that they came up with these YouTube characters. I mean, Tim Pool tried to talk to this guy rationally, and the guy wouldn't even talk to him rationally. He started screaming at him, from what I understand. And then the guy started screaming at the BBC when they tried to get a statement from Cenk Uygur. So, I mean, that just goes to show you that the left is behaving mentally unstable.
Yeah, I mean, and you forget the one major detail of that story which you guys could watch on Tim Pool's TimCast account. Basically, the BBC documentary was basically on how why is it easier to talk to people on the right, including actual white supremacists, than it is to people on the left.
It's absolutely. I mean, it's not an assumption to even think that it's actually true. I do a lot of outreach, as you know. I talk to people all across the political spectrum, from the left or right. I gotta say, I find it much easier to talk to people on the moderate right, as well as the far right, and even people who hold racialist points of view or white nationalist points of view. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily have to agree with all these people, but I gotta say, they have a tendency to be far more civilized with me and have a civilized dialogue on what they really think and feel than some of these people on the far left who you can't even have a rational dialogue with. They're people on the far left, they want the authoritarian left, they want to beat you over the head. It's like they're so angry.
Yeah, no, and it's like they'll be the people that, you know, if they're not 100% with them, they will fight their own.
And oftentimes they do. They go after each other. They crucify each other, and they don't believe in due process. They don't believe in innocent before proven guilty.
Like this, the thing
they just crucify each other.
Yeah, the thing I've come across is, especially here in New York City, when you see one of these Marxists like handing out pamphlets, and you go up and ask them, "Oh, so what's this about?" And you ask one too many questions, they get upset. Like, you can't defend your fucking position, yet you're standing outside handing out fucking pamphlets condemning the current system. And you can't, you refuse to defend it. You expect people to just accept it. And that's just not realistic.
Not only are these people condemning the current system, like I said, they want bloody overthrow revolution, where they want to literally abolish the system and destroy it by force. Yeah. And you know what's ironic about all this? These same people who want to do this would go and use the system against patriots to have them harassed by powerful people in government. Mm-hmm. And I'm bringing this up because, I mean, let's look at what's happened to the Proud Boys recently.
Yeah.
You know, a group of Western chauvinists who, you know, believed, I would argue, fairly libertarian points of view. You know, and I mean, let's look what happened just recently with some of the violence, since we are talking about, you know, potential false flags of bombings and actual potential bombings by, you know, deranged leftists. Now, as you know, the Proud Boys, they had an event about almost 2 weeks ago on a Friday night at the Republican Club up in, 86th Street. And basically, the night before, somebody vandalized the building and smashed windows out, left graffiti of anarchist cities, and left threatening letters that implied that they would take action against people if they were to continue on their course of action. And obviously the Proud Boys did continue on their course of action, have an event at this facility, and, you know, they showed up, the protesters and agitators. I'm going to separate the two, agitators and protesters, because protesters, they may not like you, but they're not going to trample on your free speech. But agitators are there to hurt you. I mean, they're there to incite riots. So, as soon as the event's over, the Proud Boys leave. They're heading 40 blocks downtown to go to the bar to, you know, because that's what they do. They like drinking. They're kind of a social club, and, you know, men's social club. So these Antifa people, essentially what happened is they come up and they throw a bottle at the Proud Boys, and then in another block, they're mugging and robbing some guy for his backpack, his ID, and his whole apartment keys where he lives. So the Proud Boys are being attacked. They have bottles thrown at them. The Proud Boys defend themselves. They end up in a fight, and Antifa lose that fight that they initially started. So, and, you know, the police were there. The police were willing to provide Antifa with assistance, not only to arrest people and press charges, but to provide medical assistance if needed, because the you know there was a fight.
Yeah.
So what did the Antifa do? They told the cops basically, "F off." They're like, "No, we don't need your help. We don't cooperate with police. We're not going to take your medical help." So, even though Antifa had the opportunity, every opportunity is imaginable to get what they wanted.
Yeah, because you know, their medical plan is from the anarchist Black Cross, right?
Yeah, the anarchist Black Cross were their medics.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's a whole other story.
Honestly,
but the point is this. They had every opportunity to get help from the NYPD. They refused help, and which is why the Proud Boys couldn't be pressed. You know, they couldn't have charges pressed against them at that time. So what happened? These same people who started a fight decided to go to the media. They decided to go, I'm assuming they decided to go to the mayor.
And
decided to go to the governor of the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo, and basically cried how the police protected the Proud Boys and did nothing to help them, despite the fact that the NYPD had come out and said that we did everything in our power to help Antifa, and they didn't accept our help. So now they're playing a game of victimhood, despite the fact they victimized people, and what should have been a situation of self-defense, now the Proud Boys are facing criminal charges. And several of them already ended up in the hands of law enforcement. They volunteered to turn themselves in to fight on behalf of their own defense about what really happened. And, you know, unfortunately, some of these guys are facing felony charges for self-defense. And some of them are, you know, out on bail for as much as $3,500, and in some cases $35,000, which is absolutely insane to me. So you got these guys. They tried to defend themselves against people who started a fight with them. You don't see this happening to Antifa, although I believe the police are looking for several Antifa people, too.
Yeah.
So let's bring us to the point of discussing the bomb and why this is relevant.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, before you go into that, I just want to make the point that you actually showed me their Twitter, and they posted the video of them attacking the Proud Boys.
Yeah, and they showed the names of all the people while blaring out their own people's faces because apparently, you know, we can't know the identities of the people in masks, but we should know the identities of all the people who defended themselves, despite the fact that, you know, they claim that they were the attackers. It's madness.
Like, you could clearly see that the Proud Boys were in a defensive position. And I'm like, you're posting this video of you attacking the Proud Boys and putting the spooky music on, like this is some retarded BuzzFeed video. Like, oh my God, the Proud Boys
I will say this, to BuzzFeed's credit, they're the ones who admitted that Antifa tried to rob and, you know, they tried to mug and rob people. And they're the ones who actually, I got to give them credit as much as I don't like BuzzFeed. They did a fair job on reporting the story because they actually did call out Antifa and they put quotes around anti-fascist to point out maybe they weren't anti-fascist and maybe they weren't victims. So I give BuzzFeed credit there as much as I don't really like them.
Well, you know, a broken clock is correct twice a day.
Exactly. So that's why people got to look at all sides and see where things are on point. See, I'm not, as much as my critics like to claim I'm this biased person, if the reporting's accurate, I'm gonna praise it.
Well, you're
being accurate.
For you know, for argument's sake, you know, your critics do call you a white supremacist. So thank you for coming on this Darkies podcast.
Speaking of Darkies, because it's funny. They said the one Proud Boy is a white supremacist. Meanwhile, he's married to a black woman. He's black, got biracial children. And there's a photograph of him. It appears to be like maybe a birthday photo with the kids. And then the guy looks like he's happier than you can imagine. And they're treating him like he's this evil, horrible guy. Meanwhile, he seems like the happiest guy you can, like, he looks like a teddy bear. It's incredible to me.
Yeah.
that, you know, that they're trying to smear people's names. And,
but you attack a teddy bear and you become a grizzly.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it kind of, the reason I bring up the Proud Boys incident yet again mm-hmm. is, and, you know, we're talking about this bombing incident recently, yeah. is, you know, it's funny. Some of these guys got bailed out, from what I understand. But then some of them ended up getting their homes raided by the police within 24, 48 hours later. The police were claiming that they were looking for clothing. Well, at least that's the impression that I was given, from what I understand. There's no real explanation of why the police had search warrants to enter people's homes that were out on bail. I've never heard of such a practice before, mm-hmm. but it's very interesting that this happens around the same time that bomb threats have been, or you know, attempted bombings, whatever you want to call it, also happen. I mean, I had to speculate. I mean, is there some effort to try to pin the Proud Boys on, you know, potentially bombing people? I mean, is that what's going on here? I don't know, but I have to wonder. It's very odd that, you know, there's such an effort to go after the Proud Boys. And then you look at the report that came out today, I believe it was today, with Governor Cuomo claiming that there was a bomb sent to him, and then there's a dispute. The Vice News, actually, I think, argued that he didn't receive a bomb. And they thought it was a bomb. It was actually huge file on the Proud Boys.
According to 1010, according to 1010 Wednesday, like, Cuomo claimed that he thought he received a bomb, and it turned out to be a box of files.
On the Proud Boys.
On the Proud
Boys. Of all
people. Yeah, they didn't specify that, so I didn't know it was on.
Well, they did in the Vice article. They actually mentioned that the file, the box was in association to a file that they had on the Proud Boys. And it's just funny that the news articles have the word bomb and Proud Boys in the same article. And then you hear, you know, then you have the situation where a raid happening at several individuals' homes.
Yeah.
You know, scaring your families. I mean, it's just like, it's really crazy.
Yeah. I mean, look, speaking about us as a security guard, I am, you know, I know the security company that does security at the Time Warner building where CNN is at. They're probably the happiest motherfuckers right now that they got to go home early today.
I would imagine probably most of their employees we don't really know how political all their employees really are. Maybe they're just people that they went there because they just wanted the job.
Yeah.
They don't really care either one way or the other. Yeah, they probably are happy to go home.
They're like, oh, shit. Oh, bomb day. Woo!
I really find it funny that you got a governor in the state of New York whose last name is Cuomo, and then you have a guy who works in CNN that has the last name Cuomo, and they're all related to each other. It's almost like the collusion between, you know, the state government and their media, and they're all pushing this narrative of bombing threats and,
and
the Proud Boys, the hate group. And
yeah, well, Cuomo,
it's such an amazing collaboration between people that all agree with each other in positions of influence and power, while at the same time, Antifa claims to be the underdog fighting the so-called establishment that they are being given aid and cover by. I find that remarkable.
I mean, the thing is, Cuomo's probably thanking his lucky stars because, I mean, this is the middle of a re-election year. And, I mean, you know, in the 8 years he's been governor, he's gotten jack shit accomplished. So, I mean...
Well, I'll tell you what he's done to piss off a lot of people in New York.
Yes.
He passed the SAFE Act, which has stripped many Second Amendment rights from, you know, many people who support the Second Amendment. They didn't even really think that bill out very well when it was passed, because later on the police ended up, I believe, having to sue the government to have certain things changed, because they essentially all became felons overnight because they had ammunition clips that were deemed illegal. you know, nobody really looked at the bill and how it was poorly written and poorly formulated. So that right there, that shows that he was a tyrant. He doesn't care about the people. It's been said by him that if you hold, like, kind of conservative leanings or pro-Second Amendment leanings, that you're not welcome in the state of New York. Cuomo made statements of that type in the past, you know, several years ago. I'll tell you what he did here locally, just to my community where I live. He came here for a photo op to, you know, act like he cares about the environment of our local harbor here in the community that I live in. And essentially, he then turned around a couple years later to talk about the idea of building a bridge or a tunnel underneath our community, which would have totally devastated everybody's, standard of living here, as well as, you know, various jobs. I mean, they were going to basically eminent domain a bunch of houses and put a giant tower that was going to, you know, fill the sky with smog, and at the same time wipe out our harbor, you know, the businesses around here. It would have been a nightmare. This huge sound tunnel, you know, this tunnel they wanted to build around here, we just devastated everybody in this community. And, you know, he actually cares about the environment, but yet he's ready to destroy the environment that he went to serve. He was here to survey the environment while taking a photo op, which is disgusting.
But this tunnel would
he's done really bad things.
Yeah, so this tunnel would have went into what, Connecticut?
No, it would have went into Westchester, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were going to build this huge tunnel. I actually went to one of the local hearings about it with some of the coalition partners that were, working to prevent this. And, you know, I'd voiced some of my concerns in front of people. I'd said it there that Governor Cuomo is a tyrant. And, you know, people clapped and cheered what I had to say. So people are not, people in this community do not like what Cuomo was proposing, because it would have devastated our community economically and just the environment. It would have been impacted as well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just look at what Cuomo... I mean, the fact that Cuomo wants to go after the Proud Boys, and I don't believe he's had anything to say about the Republican Club being vandalized and attacked. I'm going to go as far as to basically say that Governor Cuomo endorses terrorists. He has nothing to say about Antifa.
No.
Antifa has been declared a terrorist organization in New Jersey, at least. They definitely, but you don't hear anything about Cuomo talking about them in that light. He wants to go after the Proud Boys. He doesn't have anything to say about his political rivals having their facilities vandalized and threatening letters left, potentially by the very group to attack the Proud Boys. So,
us white supremacists, us white supremacist Proud Boys, which...
Yeah, yeah, multiracial white supremacists.
Multiracial white supremacists, where...
you gotta get that right.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I'm gonna post a picture on my Instagram comparing Antifa and our guys, and we're gonna show you who the real white supremacists are. I mean, it's just because I downloaded this picture. There's this girl that we've had that I've had on the show, Took Edelau. She's the social justice warrior stand up comic that we had on here, which you know her as well, Gabe. And
of course,
who honestly
I met her at May Day.
Yeah, who honestly pissed me off last week. Because she tried to make it sound like she was attacked by one of our
How was she attacked again?
Well, Gabe, attacked her? Well, Gabe, because she admitted that she was trying to steal a flag from one of our guys, and her arm was twisted to keep her from getting away with someone's said property.
Well, let me see if I get this straight, Louie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to lay out the scenario here.
Go ahead.
She told you,
she told me,
what I understand,
yep,
that her arm was twisted. And then when you asked her how her arm got twisted, she told you that, well, she tried to steal someone's personal property.
Yeah.
You know, and they twisted their arm in the process of protecting their property.
Yeah.
So I find that, you know, it seems like a common theme with people on the regressive left.
Mm-hmm.
And although I'm not going to call her a regressive leftist necessarily, but I'm going to say people who tend to have these ideas. I mean, what did Antifa do? They cried victim, despite the fact that the reason they became victims is because, well, they tried to mug and rob people and assault people with, you know, bottles that could have been used as a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
So, could have killed somebody that night.
And then,
Who knows?
Yeah,
so they're crying victim too.
And the
they just leave out all those details.
And the funny thing is, a lot of the guys that were there still had extreme amount of control, because those guys are those Antifa guys are still walking around and they're not hurt too bad.
Well, if they were really that hurt, would they really be walking around, or would they be in a coma in a hospital bed?
Yeah, they would probably.
If they were really that hurt, why didn't they accept medical attention?
Exactly.
I mean, these are just questions that, you know, logical, rational people would ask themselves, especially if these if this is that severe. I mean, the accusations that have been made are very serious accusations that, you know, unfortunately require evidence to these claims. You don't just convict people based on accusation alone. We need evidence.
And then again, if these guys were arrested, there has to be a victim. There has to be a victim. There has to be.
I guess we're going to see if there's a victim and a crime, because if there's not a victim, then perhaps maybe there was never a crime to begin with.
Yeah.
And that remains to be seen. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as far as, like, it's just funny that people, oh, you twisted my arm, but why? Well, because I tried to rob you.
Sure.
We got beat up. Why? Because we tried to rob you. And it seems like people are having difficulty self-reflecting on the actions which lead to the consequences that they face.
Yeah, and
you can blame other people for your actions. That sounds like an irresponsible position, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's great that you bring that up, because we're gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna play this song from My Beloved Tragedy, Sanctuary, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about how the left can't seem to joke. Tim Pool actually made the point, but, you know, as a stand-up comic, I wanna give my take on how the left cannot joke. So anyways, we'll be right back. This is the Crotch Out Radio Show, kicking the issues squarely in the balls. Again, this song is called Sanctuary by My Beloved Tragedy. We'll be right back.
It takes me over, rabbit's foot and four-leaf clover. My luck's left me, it departed. Circle the same, my prayer started. But who are you coming to my sanctuary? Speaking of this love, it is so arbitrary. Do you think that you can own me? Do you think I give in so easily? Come into this fire with all your talks of loving me. And if you can stand the flames, I'll show you all the monsters in my dreams. Do you still want me? Weather, a storm, solely just you and me. Now freeze, hold me tightly, hold me gently. Rain is falling, darkness ending. Recite to me words of magic, so my ending's not so tragic. But will you stand the time it takes till this is finished?
Will you hold me upright when my strength's diminished? Do you think that you can own me? Do you think I give in so easily? Come into this fire with all your talks of loving me. And if you can stand the flames, I'll show you all the monsters in my dreams. Do you still want me now? Do you still want me now?
Hey, that was My Beloved Tragedy with their song Sanctuary. Welcome back. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, kicking the issues in the balls. Again, check out that band, My Beloved Tragedy. So anyways, I'm back with Gabe Brown. Gabe, how you doing?
Not too bad. It's a little chilly out here, but that's the way the fall gets.
Yeah.
Well, it's all good.
Like, it makes me laugh how people, you know, they complain, oh, it's cold. Why is it so cold? It's the end of October.
Yeah, it's we're heading towards Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Halloween.
God forbid we have cultural appropriation of Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, man. non-cultural appropriating costumes for this year's Village Halloween show. I'm going to go fucking as Elizabeth Warren.
That would be great.
Yeah,
you could go whiteface.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go out in a suit and just go. Woo. Like, honestly,
maybe you could wear a headdress or something.
Honestly, you know, if there was a white person,
whiteface.
If there was a white person named Tim Kaine, and he was like, "I'm Puerto Rican," and it turns out he's not like nowhere near Puerto Rican. Like, you know how bad his ass would get kicked?
I guess it would be pretty bad, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
I don't know why it would have to be that way, but apparently, you know, it's a big issue, you know.
Well,
Subscribe to this cultural appropriation narrative.
Well, go ahead, and I'll take the other side, because I mean, I do believe there is a strong reason why people get offended by cultural appropriation. But go ahead.
I mean, if you think about it, these people who act like they're offended by everybody appropriating their culture, most of the people who wear these costumes are not thinking about it in the sense of trying to offend people. They're just dressing up in Halloween costumes because it's a fun holiday that, you know, everybody gets to enjoy and people get to, dress up. But it seems to me that these regressives, they have to be the most racial-minded people I've ever encountered, to the point where they believe that people have to separate to the level where you can't even embrace other people's cultures. That it's only meant for people of a specific race. That's pretty racialized.
Yeah, I mean, however, you know, like, I didn't know you were going with the whole costume thing. But, I mean, the fact that a lot of the cultural appropriation that happens that, you know, sometimes bothers me is because it's taken as a novelty. It's not really being respected. It's not being appreciated. It's treated like a costume, like it's something inferior. And, you know, the people that, and people like Elizabeth Warren that culturally appropriate Cherokee culture, or even used it to her advantage to get a job.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's not being respectful. That's not honoring the culture. It's basically using it as a novelty.
No, you're right. That's the point I'm making.
Oh, okay.
In many ways. You see where I was going with this is, these people who scream about cultural appropriation are complaining that people on Halloween want to wear costumes that look silly. They're obviously exaggerations. Mm-hmm. Whereas you don't see these same people saying that Elizabeth Warren is appropriating a people's culture for a political and economic purpose that is really disrespectful to people of that background.
Yeah.
You see, they won't go after that, what you're talking about. Elizabeth, they'll go after somebody, some kid who wanted to dress up like Pocahontas or wear an Indian headdress or somebody who wants to dress up like a samurai. Or a superhero that may not be, a certain color. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I think that's totally ridiculous. Oh, white parents are agonizing over whether to let their white children dress up as T'Challa or Black Panther. Like, bitch.
Meanwhile, if you dress up as a white character, then you're perpetuating white supremacy. So what are kids allowed to dress up as? Inanimate objects that don't move?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you can be a chair that people can sit on.
Or, hey, you can be a pencil.
I seen
this really cool costume where this father made a costume for his kid in a wheelchair and just basically turned his kid into a tank. Like a cardboard tank. I was like, that's kind of cool. But how's he going to trick or treat?
Well, I guess if you can't move, that might be a problem. Like, but I'm sure it'll play a cool costume.
Yeah, like have like a cup holder there and just people tip them.
The reason I bring up costumes is because Halloween is supposed to be a fun time for people when it comes to, dressing up. People get to dress up like superheroes or things they want to. They get to dress up like, it's silly things. Some people dress up in drag or whatever, but it's not like they're trying to offend people. They're just having fun.
Yeah,
they're doing something silly because it's a way of releasing tension,
right?
And from being living in the real world. It's why people play video games. It's why people play Dungeons and Dragons, or they make comic book art. It's real funny. The people on the left are so obsessed with, everything has to be this way. They just don't know how to have fun. They have no sense of humor. They're really going in the realm of mental instability.
Yeah,
I keep emphasizing that point, but I mean, look at how upset they are over costumes and Halloween.
Yeah, because they can't be honest. Because comedy comes from being honest. Like, my funniest jokes are that come from honesty. Like, one of my funniest jokes were basically, let me just tell the joke. Like 5 years ago, I caught double pneumonia. The doctors had to put me in a chemically induced coma. The medicine they used had me hallucinating that I was in a same-sex marriage. Even though I know I'm not gay, that was still the most loving, supportive relationship I have ever had.
Nice.
And, you know, and to this day, I was so spoiled because most women I date can't compare to Donovan. And honestly, look, I've been told, oh, that's a brave joke. You're very brave.
And that's humor. I guess in the modern society we live in, it's brave to be humorous because people are so scared to say funny things.
Well,
because
they're
so damn uptight.
Yeah. Hold on, let me
get a grip on reality here and have fun. Let me tell you something. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, you know, he told me once. Mm-hmm. He told me he basically, if you can get up every morning and you can smile, then you figured out life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean,
and
the thing is,
this is a guy who, you know, he had three separate wives because he got divorced. But, you know, he's still friends with all three of them.
Oh, wow.
And he gets up every day and he smiles. And, you know, he dealt with a stroke recently, but, hey, he told me that the secret to life is being able to smile regardless of how bad things can get. Because, you know what, the happiness on your soul, you'll live a lot longer.
Yeah,
than people who are constantly dwelling on negativity and just bringing themselves down. I just see so many. You know, I'll give you another example.
Also,
when I went to MythCon back in a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
or last month actually, there was some black guy and this other woman. I don't remember her name. They were talking about social justice in the African American community, and I think I noticed something remarkably different about the two. In the way that their demeanor was. Basically, some black guy, he's a YouTuber, he projected a more positive outlook on, you know, himself and just, you know, being black and, you know, not being, you know, buying into all this suppression narratives. And he seemed like his demeanor just seemed totally different. And there was a brighter energy to him, whereas the other person that was projecting this more racialized, you know, victim psychology type thing, she just seemed like everything was negative in her life and that just nothing was really ever going to get better. And she also, interestingly enough, advocated on stage when asked a question about, you know, solutions. She wanted a pan-African socialistic, thing. So I came to the conclusion she's a black national socialist, in essence. She doesn't know it because she thinks that she's fighting national socialists, but she essentially advocated for the same thing, but for black people. Hmm. And, you know, which I found funny. But if you can actually find those videos on YouTube. If you go, I believe you go to the YouTube channel. You just look at the way that the two presented themselves, and it's just so remarkable difference between the two. And some black guy seemed like he just projected a more happier self-being, and, like, just the energy was totally different with the two. And you can just tell right off the bat. I feel like a lot of these regressives, they're just very unhappy people. They have a lot of hang-ups, and they need serious psychological counseling to figure out what's wrong with them. Because a lot of times I feel like they're just taking it out on people, and they're projecting so much hate and anger that they themselves really have, while claiming their opponents are the hateful people, which is why they must attack their opponents in an aggressive way. Kind of the way the neocons did with the, you know, during the Bush administration in the Middle East. I see a lot of parallels between, you know, the Antifa, the aggressives, and the neocons. They're just like left-wing and right-wing versions of the same thing. Yeah, there's definitely something to humor. And those people who,
I mean, that's
they are not
that's
tied not... into this, you know, yeah. Oppression politics, they seem to be far more successful in life, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's
they
why...
They seem to live longer.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I mean, like, that's why the memes on the left work. Because we're not holding ourselves back worrying about, oh, is this going to offend someone? Is this, like, that you've seen that meme where... Yeah, there's this kid, you know, crouching under like lasers, and it's like what telling a joke in 2018 is like, and it's true because people get offended.
It really is.
People get offended over the most littlest shit. Like when I first started doing comedy, like I was, you know, of course I was doing woman bashing jokes because it was like fuck it, it was, you know. Feminism kept fucking with me, so I was like, "Hey, you know, I, some of the insults said to women are not accurate anymore. Like, I would never call a woman a bitch because female dogs are loyal.
Man's best friend.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And tell me, and I'm like, I wouldn't call a woman a whore because that implies you get what you paid for."
So, you know, somebody put out a Facebook post there literally the other day saying that Donald Trump is the only person in history to ever get a refund.
Yeah.
Because of the Daniel, you know, the Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yeah, that shit blew
situation.
That shit blew up in your face now, didn't it? That's pretty funny. Didn't that blow up in their face?
That's another reason they're so unhinged. I mean, that's another example. They're unhinged about that too. I mean,
well, you can't just fucking lie. You can't just freaking just say, "Oh well, I slept with the president. Like he paid me to sleep with him, and now no, shut you bitch." First of all, if I pay you to keep your fucking mouth shut, you provided me a service, and now you're fucking shooting off your trap. Just because, like, honestly, according to my sources, the reason why she did it was because her career was fading away and she needed fucking recognition to start doing.
Well, now she's still stripping in clubs and stuff. Like, she's desperate, you know, for cash. And this lawyer guy, was it creepy porn lawyer? Is that what? You know,
Michael
Tucker Carlson called him?
Yeah, Michael Avenatti. He's like, I'm not a porn lawyer. Like, no.
I gotta tell you, that was a hilarious exchange to watch.
Oh, yeah,
I was at my friend's house watching that one night. That thing was hilarious to watch.
Especially at the end. The one thing I like about Tucker is when the person that he's interviewing says something so fucking ridiculous, the face he puts, like the what the fuck are you on about? Like, he puts his face, like, what?
His facial expression is so
I'm like, because I'm making the scene.
I gotta admit, he's probably the best guy that they got on Fox News when it comes to getting, like, these people that he interviews. Because he gets the most crazy people that you have to imagine must be like actors or something, but these people are not actors. They really are this crazy.
Yeah, I'm like,
you have Vet Falarka, for example. I mean, you want to talk about a psychotic lunatic? I mean,
honestly, she advocates
for society.
Honestly, if that bitch played her fucking filthy paws on me, the last thing I would do is have my hands up and like, I'm not hitting her. She would have gotten laid the fuck out. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, you know, like my mom always told me when girls were hitting me in junior high school, playing kick me in the nuts because I'm fat. She's like, yo, if a little girl is man enough to hit a man, she's man enough to take a hit from
her. She wants to be a militant soldier on a battlefield. I'm not advocating for it and women, but I mean, we have women in the military, I assume, fight in combat, and I'm sure their enemies are going to kill them the same way that they kill a man. So, I mean, these people want a war. They want to advocate for war. then really they can't just, you know what's really screwed up? Antifa, they go out of their way to recruit angry militant women, people who are emotionally, you know, filled with anger for whatever reason. And they use them as human shields on the front line, knowing that the men on the right side of the fence, so to speak, are going to have a little, you know, they're going to be concerned with hitting women. They don't want to hit women. So they send these women that they know are going to be violent, are going to hit the men, thinking that the men aren't going to hit back. But, you know, it's going to get to a point where you're on a battlefield, you want to be an extreme violent person, potentially with a weapon, you're probably going to get hurt.
Like you,
and that's going to be on you.
Speaking about female soldiers, I saw this video, and I saw this video of this woman. She was from the Kurdish military, shooting, and she almost got hit by a bullet, and she ducked.
Yeah,
and she starts laughing. Why the fuck did that turn me on? Like she's
well,
laughing.
she thought it was pretty funny. Actually, she had humor.
Yeah, she was laughing all
the time. She looked. You see, that's the other thing, Louie.
Yeah.
These people who are, you know, all these Antifa types.
Yeah.
They're not in, like, places like that. I mean, a few of them are, but a lot of these American, you know, these trust fund rich kids, they never experienced a war zone like that. They're always fighting. I don't even know what her politics are or even care at this point. The point is, she's in a very dangerous situation. And she almost got killed, and she's laughing about it. Whereas these people are offended by costumes that people are wearing Halloween. They think that's the worst thing imaginable.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just look at how crazy the priorities of some of these people that never lived in that type of society,
like, for real,
or experienced something like that. It's remarkable to me.
Yeah, like, for real, get a fucking life. I mean, I was like the point I wanted to make. I mean, some of these Kurdish soldiers are kind of hot. Like, the female soldiers are kind of hot. Like, the one that almost got killed in that video, I was like, oh, like, you could see, like, all the comments from the guys on the bottom. Marry me. I'll get you a green card. I was like, yo, for real. Like, get me a badass chick like that.
I mean, you know, it's funny. I mean, if feminism was promoting, you know, the idea of, you know, people being independent, like, you know, those girls are learning how to fight. You know, I don't even know what their politics are because it's kind of a nuanced topic. There's different factions in that whole Kurdish thing. You know, it was advocating for people to become, like, you know, self-determinist, like the people we're seeing. Mm-hmm. I think more people would respect feminists who are doing that than some of these feminists who are going around screaming at everybody, and, you know, with their cotton candy haircuts and, you know, being offended by everything and accusing men of raping them every 5 seconds and nobody's ever touched them. I mean, they act like, oh, everybody's out to rape them. It's like, nobody wants to rape you. I'm sorry. Nobody wants to rape
you.
No. You don't even have a sense of humor. You just, like, people want to run away from you. Out of fear of the fact that you seem like you're a mental mess.
Yeah, I mean,
That's not attractive. Nobody's attracted by people who act this way. I'm just saying.
Well, no, but the thing is, they don't want to be viewed. They don't want to be viewed in a sexual way. And I'm like, well, then, yeah, I'm sorry, but that's how we're wired as human beings to find someone of the opposite sex sexually attractive in order to keep the species going, sweetie. It's not something like, the most you can expect out of us is us to control ourselves to not fucking rape you. That's the one thing you could expect out of us. But for us not to look at you, and if you are sexually attractive, to not look at you sexually attractive, I'm sorry. That's just going against our fucking DNA.
Well, I'll put it this way. I mean, if there was a rule book on how to be looked upon as unattractive and, like, some looking at something you want to run away from, off, you know, into the hills to get away from, just do what these radical feminists are doing. Because if you want to be viewed as completely unattractive and end up with nobody in life and be miserable and hate yourself to the point where you basically want to kill yourself.
Oh yeah, no.
Then follow that path because that it's a death sentence.
Like honestly,
I mean, you may as well be like a Bizarro Land nun in some like monastery.
I mean, and the funny thing is that these fucking,
they're progressive nuns.
Yeah, I mean these fucking bitches fucking they flatter themselves because I mean case in point, when I was helping took Edelau get her boyfriend back and to keep her from killing herself, which I fucking regret right now.
Well, I don't want to see people kill themselves. I actually have friends that have killed themselves.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
they actually were suicidal.
Oh no, I have family that attempted suicide, which makes me hate when like especially white girls be like, I'm gonna kill myself. Really? How the fuck is your life hard? Did you lose your home through divorce? Is your spouse fucking move some dude in a house that you paid for, sleeping in the bed that you paid for? Yeah, shut the fuck up.
I mean, I had a friend that basically tried to hang himself, and they slid his own wrist or neck, I believe. I mean, a pretty brutal way to die. And he just didn't believe life was worth living anymore. He sold all his stuff.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, I know quite a few people who unfortunately ended their life. I know people who have attempted it. So it's like when I hear people screaming about, oh, I'm going to kill myself, and almost like they're just crying for attention. It's like, well, you know there are people who really tried to kill themselves and actually have succeeded.
Yeah, let me
weren't telling you that they were going to kill themselves.
Yeah,
they just did it.
Anyways, let me finish. But with this chick, you know, I'm making friends with her. One of the first things out of her fucking mouth, Louis, try not to fuck me. I was like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Stop fucking flattering yourself.
Oh, jeez.
Like, holy shit. Like, really? First of all, if I even tried, I couldn't tell anyone. I couldn't tell anyone because, like, how many people would fucking lose respect for me if I messed with a girl like her? Like, no. That, like, I would have to be in the closet for fucking her.
like I said, Louis, it seems like, this is a secular theocratic religion that these people subscribe to, and the radical feminists are really just, like, bizarro world Superman-style nuns. In, you know, the Bizarro Land.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, Bizarro.
And because they behave the same way. It's like it's almost like they want celibacy. That they're doing everything in their power to make themselves look absolutely unattractive to anybody. I mean, I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking mentally, like emotionally. I mean, it's funny. I looked at a collection of pictures of people before radical feminist social justice advocacy and after. And you look at some of these people and they look like they were like normal in the sense of like, you know, they were emotionally well put together.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way they presented themselves and, you know, physically and just mentally. And you look at what happened after they became those things and they just look like a wreck. Like almost like they're heroin addicts. Like the way a heroin addict looks like before they became a heroin addict and then after. But they just physically transform. It's just almost like it's like they're not even human anymore. And I hate to like, you know, describe these people this way, but it's remarkable. I think that the social justice ideology is actually, it's poison to you physically too, to the point where your mind physically changes your body in a metamorphosis type direction. I don't know. You can look at these pictures and you tell me if that's what you think, but that's kind of what I've noticed, and it's actually pretty sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. I mean, some of them were very attractive, and then they desexualize themselves. And that's something that happens a lot. I mean, they try to masculinize, they masculinize themselves so that way they're not viewed as, I guess, subservient to anyone, probably.
Well, it just seems like they're just taking power away from themselves and they're becoming powerless. to the point where they don't even have control of themselves. They're like I said, they're emotionally gone. They need to, you know, they, I don't know, just like I said, having a sense of humor is so crucial to be able to be emotionally stable. I mean, being able to poke fun at yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's something that I've noticed that the people on the right, you know, people could say, you know, conservatives are uptight or whatever. I gotta tell you, a lot of conservative-minded people I know, they can poke fun about themselves all day long. They don't care what it is, whether it be their race or whatever. You can poke fun about them, and they don't care because they like having fun.
Yeah.
And they just notice the people on the left are so, you know, nervous about what they can and can't say because political correctness is become like a, like almost like a gospel in a religious sense. That,
I mean,
like,
it's also,
well, if you say that, you're creating sacrilege.
Yeah,
you know,
breaking,
you're a heretic.
It's breaking balls.
Guilty of heresy.
You're breaking, you know, you play with your boys, you break each other's balls. It's a game to, like, how bad can you insult somebody and still be friends? It's like
these people, like, you know, it's funny that, you know, that study where 8% of the population is like progressive and they're a mono race of like just purely rich white people. You know, it's funny. They can't relate to like the non-white people who, you know, kind of come from, you know, even middle class or lower class economic positions. They also can't relate to like white working class people either. Like all the people in, outside of their little bubble.
Yeah.
Can deal with each other just fine. They can't deal with any of us because they've been sheltered from that outside world. They don't understand the humor that people have and, like, you know, the union guys or, like, just blue-collar workers in general. They just don't understand that humor that, you know, regardless of your race or backgrounds that we all have.
Yeah,
they don't relate to me. They don't relate to you, really.
I grew up around, you know, working with a bunch of dudes, that locker room talk, shop talk. I grew up with guys like that. And you know, that's what shaped my humor. You know, it's basically, you know, don't take yourself too seriously. You know, don't be the dick that can't take a joke. Because, you know, if you probably been around it. The one guy that can't take a joke in the shop, he's the one that brings the energy down, brings the morale down.
Well, yeah. Well, he goes on a shooting rampage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he got postal. He went postal.
He went postal, yeah. Well, he went DA.
I mean, you know, you don't want to push people to the point where they go postal, but, like, you definitely want to help. Like, humor is a powerful thing to help each other.
Yeah.
It helps make you stronger, you know, when you can poke fun at each other.
It also
helps creates a bond between people.
It also,
in my experience,
it also helps spread information.
Yeah.
Because honestly, because again, humor is based on truth. The more honest you are, the funnier your joke will be. If you like, that's why our memes work. This is why we keep saying the left can't meme.
People relate to them. Yeah, they can't meme. And people relate to what, you know, people put these memes out because as much as there's humor in it, there's a lot of truth to it too.
Yeah.
And people relate to that truth. They don't relate to the things that these regressives are presenting. It just sounds alien to so many people. And they're so far in this bubble, they don't realize the alienation that they're, in, you know, projecting on everybody.
Yep.
You know, I wish they would listen to what, you know, you and I are talking about and maybe, like, take, you know, some kind of self-reflection and realize where they might be right on certain things and where they may be wrong on certain things. I think Antifa and their tactics are completely wrong because I don't see them as being effective. I see them being ineffective and actually encouraging it's a gift to the light,
Noam
Chomsky
would have
argued.
Yeah, well, the thing is, with Antifa, they're not based in reality. They're totally unrealistic. Their whole philosophy is totally unrealistic. It goes against nature. It goes against society. And it's like, okay, fine. It's okay, be counter culture, but you cannot be counter nature.
Well, let me say this, Louie. I don't think they are counterculture anymore. I think they're actually establishment culture.
Oh, yeah.
Because look at everything that they're against. They want to bring in illegal aliens. They want to get rid of offensive language. They're like, no sexism, no racism, no homophobia. If you look at what establishment Democrats and even Republicans are proposing for, you know, policy, and you look at a majority of the people, most people agree with those positions. Most of those positions are establishment status quo positions. The establishment wants illegals coming here. Think about the multinational corporations that want to exploit them and essentially displace the working class population from having, you know, jobs with benefits. I mean, what Hinton was doing, they're doing the benefit of these multinational corporations that, you know, want to dominate the planet. Everything about their positions are status quo at this point. Everything about our positions, although classically liberal and maybe more traditional, that seems to be the true counterculture. I mean, liberty in the sense of individual liberty is revolutionary in a time where tyranny is very fashionable amongst these authoritarians. They want to instill tyranny upon the people, whether they realize it or not. So they are the status quo. I mean, think about it. These institutions, these higher learning educational institutions, you don't see Nazis in charge of classes in college, universities. You see these communists.
Yeah, and the reason
why... You look at the media.
And the reason why we're bringing up why and how the left can't meme and how they can't... They don't believe in humor is because earlier this morning, well, this afternoon, I went to this store called Lids, which sells hats. Like, they sell caps and whatnot. And I wanted to get a custom hat made where, you know, with Make America Great Again with an American flag on one side and a Puerto Rican flag on the other.
Right.
You know, I wanted to get, you know, I wanted it personalized, something that I can't get, you know, from the Trump store.
Right.
When I was telling the salesperson, who happened to be a very skinny, black person. He's like, so what do you want on it? And I'm like, oh, I want Make America Great Again because I'm brave. And the look on his face, he's like, you could have thought I said the N-word over and over and over. That's how he looked at me. Like, he was like he wanted to smack me, which wouldn't have ended up right because he was about the size of my last shit.
Wow.
Like, you know, I do shit girthy shits. But, you know. But, you know, he
was. It's got to be tough.
Yeah. Well, not really. You know, I eat a lot of fiber. I drink a lot of water. It comes out smooth. So.
Excellent.
I've been taking some probiotics. So, you know, it's like, I keep my shit game tight.
Well, you better, you know.
Yeah. So, he goes, oh, I don't know if we'd be able to do that, like, immediately. So, you know, I select my hat, and, you know, I go over to the counter, ready to pay, and it's like, oh, we can't do that, it's copyrighted. And
no, how convenient.
And I'm like, okay, so we're up there, and he was like priming the girl. It's like, oh, we can't do copyrighted stuff, right? And she's like, yeah, we can't do copyrighted stuff. Not knowing what I wanted to do. And I'm like, well, it's just words. He's like, what do you want to put on it? Make America Great Again. Her face fucking melted, you know. She's a sister. A sister. Her face fucking melted, like, because me saying that, wanting that, coming out of my face, because I can't, you know. It's like, oh no, we can't do that. It's copyrighted. We got a memo from corporate, because we got a cease and desist from him that we can't do that. and that's your president. I'm like, well, all right. So I gave him back the hat because I was like, all right, well, I'm not doing business here.
Yeah.
And I left, and that's when I called you, and I'm like, yeah, they're fucking ridiculous. And, you know, I did some quick research, and it turns out that, yeah, it is trademarked, but still, you could have gotten away with it.
Well, they don't seem like they're very enthusiastic about even wanting to do it, even if it wasn't trademarked.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. And you know what? I mean, what aspect of it is trademarked? I mean, can somebody own a phrase? Like a coined phrase?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
that's my question.
Because Nike owns Just Do It.
I have to wonder about that. I mean, I guess this is an area where we kind of could criticize Donald Trump and be like, no, let people make custom hats. Actually, maybe you should write the president and be like, hey, I really wanted to get this hat, but apparently it's trademarked and can't do it, so would you allow an exemption that would let me have a custom hat?
Yeah, well,
you should try writing them a letter, see if you even get a response.
Yeah, I'll tweet them. I'll twat them.
Twaddle.
Yeah, that's going to be my... Actually, that's an idea for a new messaging service, like www.tittle. Where basically every day is Titty Tuesday.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just
Double Tuesday, huh?
Yeah, and Double D Tuesday. Like you, in order to send out a text, you have to add a picture of breasts, and then that's how it sends.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Tittle.
That'd be fascinating.
Tittle, and then well, sister site Twaddle.
Anyway, so the place is claiming it's, you know, trademarked, and did some research and found out that is actually true.
Yeah.
So, you know, we will actually, you know, it's funny, really, you know, even though there's certain details we may not like about certain things, we'll actually tell the truth about the story. We're not going to make up, like, a lie saying, oh, it's not really trademarked, even though it is. You know, we'll tell you the truth. If it's trademarked, it's trademarked, and, you know, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And that just means we have to figure out a way around that so you can get your Make America Great Again hat with your, your Puerto Rican and American flag mix.
Yeah. Like, get a Puerto Rican flag on one side and get, like, on the right temple, the Puerto Rican flag on the left temple, an American flag. Like,
I mean, it sounds like a cool hat design, you know? Like, that'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, so even though you put the Puerto Rican flag on it, you know, you can't fuck with me because if you touch my hat and try to rip it off my head, you're a fucking racist.
What kind of judo do you got?
Puerto Rican judo.
Yeah, explain that one to me a little bit.
Because judo,
I'm not familiar with it, but I know that you told me about it.
Yeah. I have a black belt in Puerto Rican judo. You don't know if I got a knife. You don't know if I got a gun. You don't know.
Well, let's just say, you know, that's a good calling card to let people know what kind of Trump you got, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Donald J. Trump doesn't have a hat like that, doesn't have an option like that. I want to be able to customize my hat like that using the Trump, using the phrase Make America Great Again. And even I'll even have the number 45 on the back.
Yeah.
Like, really customize the shit.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, Puerto Ricans have pride in the United States. I mean, it's a country. They're patriotic people. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you want to have pride in making America great again? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, you're part of the American family. You'd want pride in making your country great again. Everyone's like, oh, that's a racist term. I don't know. Bill Clinton used it. A lot of people have used it. I mean, you can make the argument that America really sucked under Obama, and now we're making it great again beyond Obama. I mean, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're talking about slavery. And it's like, no, it's in the eye of the beholder. They think we're talking about slavery. Well, I think we're talking about Obama. I think we're talking about when we actually had respect for the Bill of Rights, which granted us, you know, individual liberty and all that fun stuff and all that good stuff. You know, it's amazing that people are all like, oh, that's a racist term. It's not a racist term. It's whatever you perceive it to be. Maybe they perceive it as a racist term. Because, again, maybe they're the ones obsessed with race. Maybe that's what they're actually the ones calling for restoring segregation, essentially.
Yeah.
We're not calling for any of that. We don't want to restore segregation. That's just, it's not happening.
Mr. Like, if the president listens to this show, like, religiously. So, you know what? Mr. President, if you get a chance, I want to be able to have a customized shirt. I mean, a hat.
Hat.
Yeah, a nice customized hat. You know, something that represents all of me. Something that represents... Something one of a kind. I don't want to just be another a Trump NPC.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that they exist. I mean, they do exist, just like the Antifa NPCs, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to be a Trump NPC because I'm not. I don't fit in.
You want to be a unique individual. Yes. Trump supporter.
Yes, exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that. People have the right to support whoever they want. You don't have to agree with them, but, you know, that's their position, you know? That's what I'm saying. We could poke fun at our own side or whatever, you know, what they call our side. And these other people don't really know how to do that themselves. And they're just, like, so nervous and afraid to speak. It's like, lighten up. I mean, chill out. Come hang out with us at the bar. We don't bite. We're not vampires.
Well, the fact that we allow people to come on our side, like they come behind the fence and have a discussion and they don't get fucked up on sight, it's like it should show this.
There's no reason for them to get messed up, you know? Like, hang out. Come on. Let's have a barbecue.
Yeah. I mean, and Tim Pool, and I know I like to quote Tim Pool lately because, you know, I quote Tim Pool, I quote Steven Crowder. But Tim Pool made this sense that the left is always recruiting. We will always try to accept people into our ranks. Like, the left doesn't want to do that. The left is like, oh, you need to believe what we believe. 100%.
They're too elitist.
Yeah.
It's like, I got news for you. When you get to the point of being so elitist, the only people in your circle is you at that point. Nobody's ever going to be better than you. Nobody's ever going to be purist than you are. And it's not a way to live. It's like people who become born-again Christians after, you know, they went through, like, AA meetings or something where it's like, oh, I can't hang around people that drink. Well, most people try to freaking drink.
Yeah.
What, are you going to isolate yourself because, oh, I can't be around that person, he drinks. Oh, that guy smoked pot. I don't even drink and I hang around people that drink all day. Or people, you know, they go out drinking.
Yeah, so anyways, I want to end the show by, I want to play this Netflix and last song. By My Beloved Tragedy. The song's called "Will It Die," and afterwards we'll close out the show. But be sure listen to the thanks for listening to the Crowd Shot Radio Show. But we'll be right back after this song. This song is called again, "Will It Die" by My Beloved Tragedy.
Take me back to the New Year's holiday. My eyes caught hers, my body faded away. My words deserted me, they left me out in the cold. And then she spoke up, and soon enough I was sold. And then we counted down into the end of the night, into the new year.
Oh God,
I knew it was right. And then the next day, she lay there still by my side. I put her hair back so I can take in those eyes. Every day I dress for a funeral. It's gonna kill me. Forward to the night just before
she said she'd leave this in search of something more.
But now I wanted her here to stay.
But she heard not a word and she had nothing to say.
Tomorrow I'm telling you my life.
That was My Beloved Tragedy with their song Will It Die. Check them out. I guess We Are MBT on Facebook, I believe that it was. Yeah, they're from Ohio. They're fantastic. I've been playing their songs for years. But we're back. Welcome back to the Crotch Hot Radio Show, kicking the issues in the balls. We're back with Gabe Brown. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, what's going on, Louie?
So basically,
pretty good conversation so far, I think.
Yeah, man. But anyways, we're closing it out. You wanted to make a quick point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other issue is, you know, the reason why I was suspicious about these the bomb incidents recently is because there's been so many hate crimes hoaxes in the media that have come out where it turns out the quote unquote victim actually was the one who perpetrated the crime. Yeah, there's an incident with one of these universities where there were these black activists who were basically saying that, white supremacists tweeted out a message that they're going to come here, and everyone's all scared. Everyone was concerned what was going to happen. So it turns out that they were able to trace the Twitter account as a fake account, and it was traced back to the people who made the claim that the university was going to be, trailed by white supremacists. I mean, there are instances where Jews have drawn swastikas at synagogues and on, dorm room doors. And I've even seen police officers perpetrating, hate crimes against themselves to make it look like Black Lives Matter did. And there's instances where, KKK type stuff written on black churches have been perpetrated by, black activists. I mean, It happens across the board. This whole hoaxing of hate crimes is just—it's become such a thing that it's an epidemic, and you see everybody across the board really doing it. It doesn't even matter who they are or where they come from. It's just—it's a problem. And as far as I'm concerned, these people on the regressive side, even other side, are going to continue to do this. We have very good reason to be skeptical of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we should. We should absolutely wait until all the evidence comes out. I know I'm speculating that maybe the left might have had something to do with this, the more aggressive side or the establishment side. But I don't know for a fact. But I'm going to wait and see what kind of evidence comes out. I'm sure they're going to eventually track down whoever mailed these bombs out, and we're going to probably learn a lot more about them. And that will either answer questions or raise more questions. And we should be, keep an open mind to all this. Yeah, we should never just take hate crimes on face value without, properly looking at the evidence. Mm-hmm. Because it could turn out to be a hoax. Just look at the woman that claimed that her hijab was ripped off by a Trump supporter, and then she had to admit it never happened.
Yeah, and the same.
I think that was one of those incidences as well.
Yeah.
So that's just an example of what I'm talking about. I wanted to point that out earlier. I forgot to mention all that.
Yeah, and then
but yeah, people should look at fake hate, hoax hate crimes.
Yeah,
and you'll see what I'm saying. It's an epidemic.
And it never gets mentioned again. As soon as it's exposed as a fake, it never gets mentioned again. It never sparks a at least questioning any new allegations of hate crime. It never gets people thinking, oh, well, this could also be fake. How's about we wait till we get all the information before we try to ruin someone's life?
Yeah, I mean, people don't think that there are consequences to this. I mean, people's lives are ruined because there's such false accusations made against people.
Yeah.
You know, people are labeled racist and their reputation is tarnished for life, yeah. even though they didn't do anything or whatever. And, you know, people are just so quick to jump on a bandwagon like a mob. You know, it's been a popular term lately, but I mean, really, a mob, a lynch mob, going out to crucify somebody without even knowing if they're actually guilty. It's like we were turning to the Salem witch trials. And, you know, well, the only way you can prove you're innocent is by dying, basically.
So and
if you somehow survive, then you're guilty.
So anyways,
but if you die, you're innocent.
So anyways, any final words before we go?
The left needs to learn to get a sense of humor, so we'll live a lot longer, and the mental health will repair itself, and they need to learn how to be friendly with people, learn how to talk to other people.
They just need to learn how to.
I think that by doing that, we'll be able to engage in dialogue and maybe come up with real solutions instead of being used as pawns by the establishment to fight each other. We should be fighting against the elites, not each other. That's a neo-Nazi, apparently. That's a slogan from the Nazis, you know, to think that we can come up with a way to, like, unite together.
Mm.
That's what Nazis do, apparently, now.
Apparently.
It's ridiculous.
Neo-Nazis.
Yeah. the multiracial white supremacist Nazis.
The kind of all-inclusive Nazi party where our president is a black Jew.
Well, I guess in the world of David Chappelle, that a skit like that is now becoming reality.
It's kind of funny how certain comedy jokes turn out to be the fortune tellers.
Yeah, they really were ahead of their time, some of these comics, and that's why I appreciate them, even if I didn't politically agree with a lot of them at times.
Yeah.
But I respect what they had to say because they make valid points, and we should keep an open mind. So, yeah, I'm calling for people to get together and have conversations and forget all this petty nonsense that so many people are just, like, filled their heads with. It's like the truth of the matter is the establishment wants us all hating each other instead of like going after the establishment, because it benefits the establishment for us to be at each other's throats.
Exactly.
Because so how are we going to find solutions?
Yeah. So anyways, I'd like to thank Gabe Brown for coming on the show. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the show. Please like, comment, subscribe, share with your friends, family, your rabbi, your Santeria practitioner, this show, and hopefully let's get together. So anyways, this has been the Crouch Out Radio Show, and as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
That's the end of my show. Donk.
Help the Crouch Out Radio Show grow and thrive by doing something you already do. Shop on Amazon. Amazon always has great deals for whatever you are looking for, from survivalists and riot gear to Beanie Babies. Next time you're going to shop at Amazon, use my link. The prices stay the same, but I get credit for the sale. Just go to tinyurl.com/LouisB and just shop normally, knowing that you're helping support the Crouch Out Radio Show. That's tinyurl.com/LouisB.